And so when, you know, we're tempted to compare our life to someone else's life that looks completely different than our own, we need to stop and ask ourselves, you know, what is that to you?
Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast. Healing happens here. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the She's Marked podcast. My name is Hannah, and I am your host. I do want to apologize. Obviously, as you all can hear, my voice is hoarse. I am just getting over a cold, and I'm actually getting better. I know it sounds pretty bad, but I'm on the better end of things, and so I'm thankful for that. But I do apologize for the hoarseness of my voice today. Either way, I'm excited to be back with another guest interview. Today, we have Shanna Reem, who is a Christian wife and mother of three. She has a passion for encouraging others in their walk with Christ, sharing practical advice, all the while keeping the focus on the one who deserves it. In addition to blogging, Shanna enjoys graphic design, hand lettering, and singing. You can normally find her curled up on the couch with her family, with coffee in one hand and a good book in the other. I'm really glad to be having this oh-so-necessary conversation with Shanna today. We are unpacking comparison. And ladies, when I say that word, I just want you to think about what resonates with you. What do you begin to feel when you hear that word? What do you begin to think of? I know that for some, comparison is a real issue. And then for others, it may not be so much. And so what happens when we are bound by comparison is that, one, we lose sight, obviously, of God. We lose sight of Him being the driver, the orchestrator, the author and finisher of our faith. We lose sight of Him being the one who sets the standard, but we also lose sight of ourselves. We lose sight of what God has instilled in us, what He has bestowed upon us, what He has called us to. We lose sight of that. And therefore, we leave our posts, or we never arrive at our posts. That's another thing. It's not all about leaving our posts or forsaking our posts, but sometimes we fail to even show up. And so comparison is certainly one of those struggles that can cause that to happen as we now shift our eyes from looking to God and looking at God and beholding Him and following His lead to now looking at others. And so comparison is such a slippery slope that can lead to so many other things. And that's part of what we talk about today. One of the things that we talk about in particular is comparison being a sort of gateway. You think of like a gateway drug, it leads to other things. And so comparison is a gateway sin. It's a gateway struggle. It's a gateway challenge because it opens the door to so many other things that Shanna and I will be talking about today. So I know that you all will be blessed. I just love Shanna's presentation. Shanna is very practical. She is a lover of the word, and she is definitely a teacher of the word. So I really enjoyed just sitting back and just hearing her unpack and decipher and dig into comparison and so many of the many, many challenges that we have all faced at some point or another when thinking about comparison. So without any further ado, we're going to quickly get into a short commercial break about the Marked Store. If you all have not already checked out the Marked Store, go ahead and do so. I'm going to be giving you that information in just a second. And following that, we are going to get into Unpacking Comparison, Part 1 with Shanna Rehm. Hey there, She's Marked podcast family. I've got something special for all the gatekeepers and nurturers out there who love filling their homes with faith and rest. I'd like to introduce you to the Marked Store, your go-to destination for soul-strengthening, Christ-centered gifts and goods for the godly woman, her home, and her littles. Listen, ladies, home is where the rest is, and my desire is to help you in creating homes that are set apart where the Spirit of God dwells and healing and equipping abide. So whether you're searching for the perfect touch to cozy up your spaces or a way to naturally incorporate rich scripture and faith to the flow of your everyday life, the Marked Store has you covered. And let's not forget our precious littles. The Marked Store has an adorable collection of infant onesies and bibs. Here is the best part. My listeners get an exclusive discount. Use the code MarkedHome15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase, and Marked is spelled M-R-K-D. So go ahead, head over to the Marked Store today at www.markedstore.com, that's M-R-K-D store, and start filling your life with faith, love, and rest. I am so glad to have our next guest on today. I've already given you guys the introduction. So here I have with me Shanna Rehm. Shanna, as I've already mentioned, is a blogger and writer. She is the voice over on A Woman Created on Purpose blog. And Shanna is going to be talking with us today about unpacking comparison. Comparison is something that we all face, we all will face in this life. And it's a very real temptation. And for some women more than others, it can truly become a stumbling block. It can be something that can feel very overpowering. So I'm so excited to have this conversation with Shanna today. And with that, Shanna, welcome to the She's Marked podcast. Why don't you go ahead and tell us who you are and more about the work that you do in your heart?
Well, hi, Hannah. I am so excited to be here. I'm honored. I love what you're doing with your ministry. So it's an honor to be here and to speak with the women who you are reaching as well. And so, like Hannah said, my name is Shanna and I'm married for 15 years now, have three wonderful children, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. But prior to being a stay-at-home mom, I worked for about 14 years in the nonprofit sector, doing administrative work, graphic design, social media, marketing, communications, all of those things. All that to say that God called me home to be a stay-at-home mom in 2018. And since then, I've still been able to use all of the skills that I learned in the workplace, but I just use them in a different way now. And along with being a stay-at-home mom, I am also a homeschool mom. So I homeschool my three children, which is just absolutely a joy. But I started my blog, A Woman Created on Purpose, about 2 years ago. And really my heart for that is just to be able to help women grow in their faith and motherhood with a practical lens on scripture. So, you know, focused on the word, focused on the way the Lord tells us to live, but how do we walk that out practically? And that's what I have a heart to do with my blog.
That is wonderful. And To give you guys, thank you for that, Shanna. To give you guys a little bit of background, Shanna and I have partnered before. Shanna was actually one of the featured moms on the For the Moms blog series from the Marked Life blog. And she was featured, I believe, was it 2022, Shanna?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I think it was 2022. And I can't quite remember how we even crossed paths online. Nonetheless, I signed up a while ago now, and I am on Shanna's email list for her blog, A Woman Created on Purpose. And Shanna, I think I had mentioned this to you before when we first started chatting and kind of preparing the details for today's episode. I am so often blessed, and I really want to use the word refresh, because that's what it usually feels like when I get your new blog posts and I read it. One, I love how practical it is. Like, I can literally apply it to my life. And I like that you anchor on the word of God, because it truly sets free. So I'm so grateful for the work that you do on your blog. And I'm so excited to see where that goes for you. So I thank God for that ministry.
Wow. Thank you, Hannah. I appreciate that. Praise the Lord.
Absolutely. And ladies, Shanna will be sharing at the end of this episode where you all can find her, how you all can get on the email list so that you guys can also tap into the value that is on the Woman Created on Purpose blog. So today we are going to be talking about comparison. And I think as we continue to unpack in this season, we've unpacked identity, we've unpacked our pain stories, and now we're going to start digging into the things that plague us, the things that make our journeys rocky. And one of those things, especially among women, is comparison. So Shanna, I want to talk to you about that. In your definition, what is comparison? And then how does comparison impact our relationship with God and with others?
So simply put, Hannah, I would say comparison is just, you know, when we measure ourselves against someone else, and that can be from a positive standpoint or from a negative standpoint. And I will get into that a little bit more later as we talk. But basically, you know, anytime you're comparing yourself to another person, you're just kind of pulling out that measuring stick and measuring yourself against someone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what that does is it puts that person that you're comparing yourself to in place of God. That person or thing can eventually become an idol in your life.
Yeah.
It kind of puts that thing or that person always at the forefront of your mind, whereas God wants to be at the forefront of our minds. And so, along with that, you know, once that happens, once that person becomes an idol of ours, we'll start to see a little bit of a less desire for the word of God and more of a desire to do the things that we need to do to adjust our lives so that we live up to the one we're comparing ourselves to, if that makes sense. So then initially, what we'll do is we'll spend time mimicking that person, trying to live up to that person's image instead of mimicking Christ and living up to Him. And in all of this, what we're doing is we're quenching the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who's guiding us. He's whispering God's truth to us, yet we're ignoring Him. Instead of believing His truth, we're listening to the lies that we ourselves or the lies that society is telling us. And once we start believing the lies, then comes the heavy duty stuff of we begin to write our own retort based on those lies. And instead of following clearly defined truths of the Bible, we start closing our ears to the word because it doesn't line up with what we're feeding our minds, which are lies. And so we're putting ourselves in a position where we can become a counterfeit version of someone else instead of the authentic version of the person that God created us to be. But in that, there's always redemption. And we just have to recognize exactly what we're doing. You know, we need to be able to check ourselves and ask the Lord to give us those eyes to see and those ears to hear. But yeah, comparison is such a dangerous trap to fall into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is so true. A lot of the things that you said stood out to me, but when you said we become a counterfeit of someone else, mm-hmm.
That's such a scary thing. We totally do a disservice to ourselves because we miss out on what God intended for us.
Right.
We neglect that post that He created and specified for us. So
absolutely.
That is definitely key. So you already kind of started to touch on it, but what are some of the hidden traps of comparison? Like, while we may be looking to other people, or they may have our attention, what they're doing, now we're measuring ourselves according to their standards. What are some other hidden traps that can arise when we begin comparing ourselves?
So honestly, you know, when we think about comparisons, and not to be overly general, but I would say the world around us is one big hidden comparison trap.
Yeah.
You know, the things we hear, the things we see, experience through the media, the messages on our screens, on stage, on social media, all of those things. And then, of course, what we would call the world system, right? When we refer to the world as the Bible refers to the world. First John 2:16 says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you know, all of those things coupled in with everything I just mentioned, you know, what we see, what we let into our sense gates, all of those things, this promotes that rhetoric in our minds that tells us to believe certain things like, you need this, Hannah. You should be like this, Hannah. This is favorable. This is the standard look. These are the trends that you should follow. This is how you get light or likes.
Yeah.
You know, these messages start even early in children's programmings. You know,
yes.
I have young children. I know you have young children as well, Hannah.
Yeah.
This stuff is beginning with children's books, children's shows, all of those things. We're just fed all of this early on. And then as women, as young teen girls, it just ramps up so heavily, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And we get so focused on ourselves. We're told things like, love yourself.
Yeah.
Stand out. Do what makes you feel good. Be a trendsetter. You know, and all of this just leads to a yielding, or all of this leads to a wandering mind.
Yeah.
That's looking solely at how you can compare yourself to others. So, for example, you know, we're told, stand out, be a trendsetter. But how do you know if you're a trendsetter, or how do you know if you're standing out if you're not comparing yourself to somebody else?
That right? is so true. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you don't love yourself, then hey, that must mean that you need to be like somebody else and then you'll be happy. You know, these are the things that we're being fed, and it's just leading us right down the path of comparing ourselves with other people. And all of this just, it frankly doesn't line up with the word, right?
Right.
Yes, we're called to be holy. We're called to be set apart and to be different. But this isn't so that we can boast in ourselves. You know, we're only supposed to boast in the Lord, and that's it.
Right.
So we just really need to be careful about what we're letting into our sense gates, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
What we're watching, what we're seeing, what we're listening to. Even the other people who are around that influence us, we just need to be very, very careful.
Absolutely. And it makes me think of the scripture that reminds us to guard our hearts, guard our hearts. And, you know, that means guarding what we're watching, what we're allowing to come before our eyes, what we're allowing to come before our ears. Like, you know, God has given us, in the physical sense, He's given us the gift of being able to see. And even though that's a gift, being able to physically see, for those of us who can see, because I realize not everyone can see. But for those of us who can physically see, that's a blessing, but it still has to be, it has to be guarded. We have to really be careful with what we're setting before our eyes. You mentioned it, social media, everywhere. We have to guard it, because those things that we're physically seeing with our eyes, they can enter into our mind. And like you mentioned, I love you. I love what you said, a wandering mind. If we're not firmly rooted in our identity, if we're not firmly rooted in scripture, if we're not firmly rooted in the fact that God is the one who sets the standard, we will begin to like reach for things that we're measuring ourselves up against. And that can become very dangerous.
Absolutely.
So speaking of that, how does comparison weaken us in our purpose and our mission?
You know, I think that the biggest thing that we can remember is that we don't exist to please people. You just said it. Jesus is our only standard.
Mm.
We're meant to please Jesus. We're meant to please our Lord. And when we're comparing ourselves to other people, we're not thinking about Jesus. And so when it comes to our purpose and our mission, I like to think about it this way, that the Lord has given each of us a sphere of ministry, whether that ministry position has an official title or not. And so we have those who are supposed to influence and point to Christ. Yet when we're getting caught up in this comparison trap, what eventually tends to happen is we begin stepping into someone else's sphere of ministry, meaning we try to be more and more like, you know, who fill in the blank, more and more like so-and-so. And we want to do things the way they do them.
Yeah.
And this just trips us up because, again, it's not authentic for one thing. But, you know, more importantly, that's not what God has called us to do. We're trying to squeeze our own flavor into a recipe that God already wrote.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that this morning. You know, I like to cook, but I don't write my own recipes, if that makes sense. Yeah. So like if I want to make a certain dish for dinner, I'll Google search it, find a blog of someone who already has a great recipe, and I just follow that recipe, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, once in a while, maybe I'll tweak it a little bit as time goes on and I want to add a different flavor, but I don't come up with my own recipes. And I was thinking about that in terms of comparison. You know, God already has a recipe for us.
Yeah.
He has the, you know, the big recipe in the Bible for all of us, but then he has his own recipe for each of us and how he wants to walk out our lives, everything that he's called us to do. And so when we start tweaking with that recipe or changing the recipe or adding other things in to what God has already established as the perfect recipe, we're running into problems.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we're doing that back to our sphere of influence, it just gets muddled. It affects the work of others around us as well, because again, we're not being our authentic selves. Mm-hmm. We're searching for our own glory and a sense of, you know, maybe finally making it, you know, once we think, you know, once we become that object of what we're comparing ourselves to, we finally have made it in a sense.
Right.
That's kind of what we're telling ourselves.
Right.
So we're looking for our own glory instead of focusing on giving God the glory.
Right.
And, you know, our purpose in all that we do is to glorify God. And we just can't do that when he's not the one that our eyes are set upon. When our eyes are on other people, comparing ourselves to other people, that's where our focus is. And it's not on God. And that just, you know, honestly weakens our entire purpose, you know, our day-to-day purposes that he gives us and the bigger purposes in life that he gives us, because we're not being who he has called us to be.
So true. I agree with you 100%. Our mission and our purpose becomes diluted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often think of my children. I don't usually give them juice to drink, but even if I give them just a little bit of apple juice, I'll pour a bunch of water in it. And it certainly doesn't taste like apple juice at that point. You know what I mean? It changes the flavor. I love the example that you use, that you love to cook, even if it's not your own recipes.
Mm-hmm.
We change the flavor. God is the cook. He's the chef. And when we begin to add or take away, we change the flavor of the purpose and mission that he's given us.
Right. Absolutely.
Do you feel, well, I guess I should say, what makes us more susceptible to comparison? Do you feel that some are more susceptible to comparison than others? And then how can we guard our hearts? We've talked about obviously having to be intentional about what we're taking in through our eyes, what we're taking in through our ears.
So I alluded to this a little bit earlier, just in terms of my basic definition of comparing ourselves when we're measuring ourselves against each other. So when we begin looking at others as the standard or even ourselves as the standard, that kind of makes us susceptible to the whole comparison game. Now, that's when we start playing the game. And that's what we saw happening in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. In that portion of scripture, Paul was telling the Corinthians that they were measuring themselves by themselves. So they were, in essence, measuring on a human scale, making themselves the measure of others, and also making others the measures of themselves. And so what this means is we're either in a prideful state where we become the standard by which others should measure themselves, or we don't see our own worth in Christ and therefore think that others are the standards that we need to live up to. either way, it's all carnal. We're only looking at the carnal. We're looking at the outward appearances and circumstances. And there's just really no wisdom in this.
Yeah.
We aren't looking unto our Lord and to the fact that he has created us as a beautiful poema, a beautiful poem, his workmanship. You know, we guard our hearts by prioritizing our time in the Word. We have to make this a regular occurrence in our days. And again, I would say being in the Word, being close to the Lord, that is the biggest way we can guard our hearts against comparison. We need to make sure his voice is the main voice that we're focusing on. And then along with that, of course, just allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work and searching our hearts and convicting us as he measures us according to God's word and his standards. That's where the measurement comes in. And from there, we allow him to work in us to help us become all that we were created to be, no matter how differently that may look from someone else. And then from there, we purpose to be content in him, you know, no matter the circumstance. And that's another thing Paul talked about in Philippians, right? Like being content, no matter the circumstance, no matter what, you know, no matter what thoughts are countering against us. And so in a little bit more of a practical sense as well, to guard our hearts, that might mean we need to separate ourselves from the places or the people that we're subject to comparing ourselves, you know, if that's possible. And maybe also we need to get to know the person we're idolizing. Sometimes we see people kind of from afar. We don't really know them.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a celebrity, but someone that you just kind of see places, maybe your acquaintances, maybe not, but you don't really know them. Sometimes you just need to get to know them to know that they're a real person just like you.
They're really nothing. They're just as human as you are.
Right, exactly. Really nothing. Yeah. I don't want to say nothing special because we're all created in God's image uniquely special. But you know what I mean. Like nothing, you know, nothing over and above, over and top. They're just a normal person just like you. So maybe you just need to get to know that person that you're idolizing. Mm-hmm. And also to realize too, you know, sometimes when we're looking at it from a pride perspective where we think that we're a little bit better than someone else, maybe we need to go help the person who is struggling, you know, instead of comparing them in judgment and pride.
Sure. So
all of these things really just help us guard our hearts against continuing to fall into that trap.
That was so very good. Such a good list. Such great points you made there, Shanna, on practical things that we can implement as we seek to guard our hearts. I think you had referenced, was it 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Was that the scripture, one of the scriptures that you had just referenced?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. There was one thing, I actually had that on some of my scriptures here too, and there was something about this particular verse that stood out to me. I'll read the whole thing, but then I'll mention what stood out to me. Not that we dare, and I'm quoting now, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, this is the part right here. They are without understanding.
Yes.
And that piece stood out to me so much. When we are, like you mentioned, when we are setting others as the bar that we're aiming for, that's not even what it's about. And we're missing it. We're creating, first of all, we're creating a new struggle unnecessarily. We're putting ourselves through unjust suffering. We're condemning ourselves. We are frowning upon ourselves. We're slipping into self-pity or whatever else might come as a result of comparison. But we're doing so in a sense, foolishly. Mm-hmm. Because like you mentioned, one, we don't know the other struggles that other people have, but two, that's not the measurement. Someone else's strength, someone else's achievements, what seems to be the better in someone else's life, that's not a standard for measuring our human innate value.
Right.
You know what I mean? It kind of cheapens it when we use those as a standard of measurement. We all at some point or another struggle and will struggle with comparison, but we do ourselves a disservice. I think we really lower our own value when we seek to compare by the standards of which we compare. Some of the things that I think of, especially in comparison among women, we compare our looks, we compare our talents. I know one thing that you and I had briefly spoke about as mothers, we compare ourselves to other mothers. Like We just right. pick these random things that we think are like special gifts. And we start setting that as, yes. the, you know, the car that they drive, their education, right. Their bank accounts. We start comparing that as if that mm-hmm. is the standard, and that's not even on God's radar.
Yeah.
So it's foolish. Right. It's a foolish. Demonstration of lacking understanding. Another thing that I had wanted to mention, I thought about the parable of talents in Matthew 25. Mm-hmm. Something that these servants had in common was that they were all servants. That was the thing that they had in common. So I think about that with us as we compare ourselves, or we may fall into the temptation or the struggle, the real struggle of comparing ourselves with other people. We forget that they're human too.
Right.
And in this particular parable, they were all servants. They all had that in common, but the master gave them different talents. And when I looked up, of course, what this talent was, it's not the talent that we would think of, like, oh, she's talented, she can sing, and she's talented, she can cook, and she's talented, she's a great public speaker. But a talent in this instance, in this parable, is a unit of currency. Mm-hmm. And so then I think about us and how God has created each of us. He's given us each different measures. He's assigned different things to us. Our identity, our value, our measures of faith and giftings, those were given to us by God. They are units of currency.
Yeah, wow.
So when
that's
we
great.
Fail, yeah, they're actual units of currency. Mm-hmm. So when we, again, going back to the lacking of understanding, when we are giving our value and our worth, when we're summing that up to external material things, we are failing to realize that the things, the thumbprints, the fingerprints that God has placed upon each of us, they're one, they're assigned by him, they're given, but he gives each person different measures, different right. giftings, different talents. And those are units of currency. They're extremely valuable. So when we put so much overemphasis on the next person, it's almost insulting to God.
Right. Absolutely.
Because we're neglecting ourselves. And then you think of the servant who got the one talent. He decided not to do anything with it. He buried it.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw what ended up coming of that situation. The master was not happy at all. It didn't end well.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like we're just saying, hey, what you gave me is not enough. I need something yeah. better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's foolish.
And then we hide it. And in the hiding it, what happened in that particular parable that I think of, Shanna, is that the servant who became fearful, he probably thought that it wouldn't make a difference that the talent was hidden and buried and nothing was done with it. But it was an actual significant thing because the master had intended that talent for a particular purpose. He expected mm-hmm. something to happen with that talent and he gave the time for it.
Right.
The danger, I think, one of the other dangers is that we're focusing on what someone else is doing with the talents that were given to them. We are burying our own. So we're failing to develop the way that we need to. We're failing to mature the way we need to. We're failing to navigate the places that we're supposed to be navigating with the intensity and effectiveness that we're supposed to. And so we kind of stay in this underdeveloped, unmatured, withered state, and we don't give that seed a chance to grow because we neglect ourselves and what was given to us.
Right. Yeah, that's great. I love how you put that, Hannah. So true.
Thank you. So the next question I had for you, Shanna, we've already begun to touch on this. I believe truly that comparison is similar to a gateway drug. It opens the door to other mental and emotional grips and struggles. What do you believe are some of those other grips that partner with comparison, or that comparison, when we start allowing ourselves to sit in places of comparison, it begins to lead to once it has festered long enough?
Sure. So Hannah, personally in my life, I've noticed comparison leading to several emotional grips. And at first, I would say I didn't realize that the root cause was comparison. But this is why we need to really pay attention to ourselves and check ourselves. For example, so in my life, there were times when I noticed that I would almost feel a little depressed after being on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like I had just scrolled through bad news or a bad post or anything like that. So initially, I wasn't really sure what it was.
Yeah.
But eventually I came to realize that as I was scrolling, I had been comparing. And then after hopping off of social media, I'd have these negative thoughts running through my mind.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, we need to regularly check ourselves and take note of what's causing these attitudes, because there's always a root cause to whatever that we're feeling. There's always something causing it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time we do it to ourselves, just like, you know, I was doing it to myself, getting on social media and then just letting my thoughts run wild.
Yeah.
And so I would say there are a few unfruitful attitudes that I have noticed, at least in my life and probably in others, that stem from comparisons. So the first one I'll talk about is discontentment.
Yes.
The Lord's goal for us isn't happiness, despite popular thought. His goal for us isn't happiness, it's holiness. And so seeking the Lord and His will leads to contentment in Him. 1 Timothy 6:6 tells us that contentment should accompany godliness. And when it does, it proves to be a great gain. Mm. This is because all we have comes from the Lord, yeah. Right? We can focus on the goodness of His provision when we're seeking Him and pursuing righteousness. When we're not seeking Him and pursuing His righteousness, we're not focusing on those things. It's very easy to become discontent.
Yeah.
And comparisons lead to discontentment because when we're comparing, we see all we don't have,
yet
we covet. Whether it's God's will for our lives or not, you know, we don't really care. We just, you know, we see it, we want it, we think we need to be this way. And then we're just led to a state of discontentment. Another unfruitful attitude that I've seen, Hannah, is pride. And this one is probably one of the first things that we can think of with comparisons. But, you know, we live in a world where people are just gods of their own information, thoughts, and opinions. You know, if someone doesn't agree with their viewpoint, there's a sense of arrogance and pride that ensues. We see this a lot on social media, you know, and obviously other places as well. And a lot of people today believe that their only truth that exists is what their opinion represents or what their opinion says is truth. But truthfully, we really have no room to boast. And I said this earlier too. We have no room to boast unless we're boasting in the Lord, because He's given us everything. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about that. You know, there's no room for it.
Yeah.
But comparisons put us in a place where we're only thinking about ourselves, either positively as a form of pride, or negatively as a form of discontentment. And we're not thinking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I'll give an example. I think about this example a lot because I feel like it's very relatable, especially if you're a mom. So I call this my grocery store example. Mm-hmm. So think about when you're at the grocery store, and we've probably all been in this situation of in some way or fashion, but you're at the grocery store and you see another mom's children running rampant, being loud, maybe whining over candy. What do you do? Do you start questioning her mothering? Do you wonder why her children just don't know how to act? Do you wonder why why is it so hard for her children just to behave?
Yeah.
That's pride.
Yeah.
That's comparisons from a prideful standpoint. But then we flip the script. You know, we're at the grocery store, and now this time it's your kids. Your kids are the ones causing the ruckus. They're misbehaving. They're being disobedient. Then you start to wonder, well, why, you know, are everyone else's kids so great? Why can everyone else's kids listen? Why can everyone else's kids be so well behaved at the store? And you find yourself getting frantic and rushing out of the store, feeling like a failure, right? Yeah. That's comparisons from a discontentment standpoint. But I challenge us to ask ourselves in both of these scenarios, where was Jesus? Not in our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Our thoughts were either on ourselves or others, or honestly, both.
Yeah.
You know, we're too focused thinking about ourselves and others to even think about Jesus and who we are in Christ. And so again, between discontentment and pride, those are two of the big, big ones that we see with comparison. But another really big one, Hannah, is envy. Mm. And envy just creeps in there when we don't rest in the fact that God has given us His best for our lives and His creation for us. we start to long for something more.
Yeah.
Whether it's more wealth or more beauty, more followers, more status. But James 3:16 tells us that disorder and every evil thing come from jealousy and selfish ambition. So we think about every evil thing comes from jealousy and selfish ambition. That's huge. Envy is a big problem.
Yeah.
So it begins in our hearts and then it manifests in our thoughts, our words, our attitudes.
Yeah.
And then it seeps out into our environment. It really affects everyone around us. It affects our relationships, affects our home life. Mm-hmm. And particularly, it affects those we're comparing ourselves to and envying. So it's kind of like what you were talking about with the talents. You know, we're burying something, or, you know, we want more. Well, why didn't I get more of this? You know, why did I only get one and he got five or whatever? That's what we're doing essentially.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of unfruitful attitudes. I'm sure you could think of some more too, Hannah, but discontentment, pride, and envy, I would say are the biggest three that not only I've seen in my life, but I've witnessed in the lives of others.
Ladies, thank you so much for listening. We continue with part two of Unpacking Comparison with Shanna Rehm next.